Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Cindy Yu and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. So we're here in Birmingham at the Conservative Party conference, and yesterday it didn't get off to a good start, what with the app's security problems. James, is it going better now?
I don't think so. The first bad news number 10 was when, after the app fail, was when the Sunday Times landed this morning. It had interviews with both Boris Johnson and Theresa May and was pitting them against each other with the unhelpful conference headline, Boris versus May, it's war now. Then Theresa May went on the Andrew Marr show, and I think she was kind of bereft of a positive message. So instead we had a kind of section on Brexit where Theresa May basically tried to say she doesn't know what the EU objects to about checkers, which is stretching things a bit. And then she got into quite a lot of trouble when Andrew Marr pushed her quite hard on the Windrush scandal. And, you know, Theresa May's personal culpability for it, given that she was Home Secretary for 6 years.
Will you apologise for the policy?
I apologise for the fact that some people who should not have been caught up in that were caught up in that, with, in some cases, as we've just seen, tragic results.
And Theresa May kind of struggled to get off that. And I think what was odd was she didn't seem to have any positive message on either Brexit or domestic policy that she was bringing to the programme. And I think in the run-up to this conference, this has been the frustration. You know, there are a lot of Tory ministers who are like, we need a positive agenda, we need a domestic offer to counter Corbyn. And so far, we haven't seen any sight of that.
And Katie, we have heard from some leading MPs today, though. I think Jeremy Hunt was one of the ones who gave a speech earlier.
Yeah, so in the conference hall this afternoon, we've had a few of the beginning speeches of the cabinet. We had Jeremy Hunt, the new foreign secretary, along with Gavin Williamson. Brandon Lewis, the chairman, is giving a speech. People are broadly positive about Brandon's speech, even though it's safe to say he's having a bit of a nightmare conference, given it's CCHQ, which ultimately has to take responsibility for this app, which saw lots of ministers' phone numbers basically in a public forum for at least an hour. When it came to Jeremy Hunt's speech, it played well to the crowd. It seemed fairly warm towards Theresa May, but I think you could also read into it that it wouldn't harm leadership ambitions, should you say. He talked tough on the EU. He criticised the Labour government, and he also cracked a few jokes, also about his predecessor in the job. And I think one interesting point was when he talked about Henry Kissinger and the fact that Henry Kissinger didn't want the UK to remain or wouldn't intervene. And that, to me, seemed to be a point where he was trying to play up his Brexit credentials. Obviously, we know Jeremy Hunt was a Remainer. He was not a Brexiteer, but he seemed to be playing that anger to the crowd.
Now, in my office, there's a bust of Churchill. Just think for a moment about the international order that Churchill created. More democracies, more peace, more trade, more prosperity than ever before in history.
Yeah, I think when you get Thatcher and Churchill in the same speech, you know someone is playing to the Tory gallery. I also was struck by how big picture it was. This was not a speech confined to foreign affairs. This was about Britain's future post-Brexit. He talked about kind of his vision for the economy, you know, the high-tech economy built on massively improved digital infrastructure. You know, for all those Tories wondering where the domestic policy agenda is, it was actually the Foreign Secretary who came the closest of anyone at this conference so far to providing it. I've already managed to walk the line quite cleverly between setting out his own vision and it being too obviously and too transparent a leadership pitch.
And Katie, you mentioned Digby Jones just now. His speech had a bit of a surprise in it, didn't it?
Business is so important that when I heard a former foreign secretary say F business, it showed him up for the irrelevant and offensive person that he really is. And it'll take great exception to that.
Yes, so I think actually the main drama in the hall today wasn't to do with any cabinet minister, it's to do with Lord Digby Jones, who got up and actually probably gave a little bit of stand-up. He made jokes at the expense of quite a few different figures, but the one that caught everyone's attention was Boris Johnson. He is former CBI, but he's also a Brexiteer, and Digby Jones said of Johnson that his comments, which were, I'm going to not swear on this podcast, his comments of F business, had basically shown what an irrelevance Boris Johnson was. Boris Johnson proved himself that he was no longer relevant. And what was quite interesting was it was quite well received in the hall. Notably, the cabinet didn't clap. Theresa May was sat there, but she did not do a standing ovation to that comment, maybe even if she would have liked to. But generally, it's seemed to be well received. And obviously this is just the conference hall. As Fraser has said before, the conference hall is not representative of the membership at large. That's probably more like to be the fringes and so forth. But the big theme ahead of this was this idea that Boris be a far more popular figure than Theresa May at conference. And Number 10 were a bit nervous about her looking unpopular and Brexiters looking very popular. And this shows that that power dynamic isn't there yet. It might come in the Brexit rally, but at the moment it does seem like at least the people they need to are playing on side for Theresa May.
I think Boris Johnson's biggest problem is this F-business comment, because the Tory party likes to think of itself as instinctively as the party of business. And although, you know, everyone close to him would say, oh, what he was talking about was really F for CBI rather than F-business, it's still not how people see it. And I was quite struck by one of those who doesn't want Boris Johnson to become leader. His view is that this is the greatest drag anchor on Boris Johnson, which is, you know, how could you fight an election against Jeremy Corbyn with this F-business message? It wouldn't work. Now, I also think this, which is there's some polling this morning, which is kind of the silver lining for Theresa May, basically showing that most Tory voters want Tory MPs to basically just get behind whatever Brexit deal Theresa May gets. And I think that will be a big part of her theme at the conference this morning. On Mar, she was trying to say stop to everyone, both to her own MPs and to Labour, stop playing politics with Brexit. She is trying to do this, I embody the national interest, and so whatever deal I get will be in the national interest. That's the pitch she's trying to go for.
I think the problem so far is because we don't have a clear agenda from her, and we saw that on the Mar show, there didn't seem to be a big policy push. So we've only had traces of what I think you could think were the conference stories. So we have a Brexit festival, Theresa May has promised, and there's also a plan to hike stamp duty for foreign property buyers.
But then Brendan Lewis said not as much as she said.
Yes, so then she seemed to downplay the percentage went on TV this morning. So that was busted further, and I think that has meant that here today, all the attention really for now is on this leadership parade, and just now we're talking about Jeremy Hunt and we're saying, is he lining himself up for Theresa May? And I think unless Number 10 can somehow grab hold of the agenda, unless they can start announcing interesting ideas, or even just basic new policies, it's going to continually be this person has said this.
When I got leaked details of this Brexit festival, I remember thinking about it, I'm thinking it was a perfectly good column short. It didn't cross my mind that this was going to be Number 10's main offering to the Sunday papers on the first day of conference. I thought it was a perfectly decent story, you know, a bit of optimism, a bit of positivity, but I didn't think this was like a great story. Ministers were given very little time to comment on this proposal, and I assumed that this was because they were looking for something for Jeremy Wright's speech, with the new culture secretary, who's hardly a, you know, household name, rather than as a big offer. I think one of the interesting things to watch, though, is I understand there is a bit of a debate inside Theresa May's circle about her own speech on Wednesday and what she should say about Brexit, because some people think that the reason that her post-Salzburg speech so resonated with the public was because she was kind of not just laying down the law to the EU, but to public opinion back here. And so I think some people would like her to be quite explicit and say to the membership, you're not going to get everything you want out of this Brexit deal, but I'm going to negotiate the best deal for Britain, and you've just got to trust me on that. Whereas other people think that you can't have two bad conference speeches in a row, so she's just got to play it a bit safer than that.
And Katie, what else do we have to look forward to in this conference?
Well, we have many delights in the coming days. Today, for example, there are quite a few interesting fringes that are going on. I think what is quite interesting, looking at the fringe programme for full, up until Wednesday, is it does seem nearly every cabinet minister at some point is doing it in conversation with. And again, it plays into this idea that perhaps they're preparing for something. Perhaps they think at some point there might be a job vacancy on the horizon.
And these in conversation with always provide bizarre news stories. Michael Gove has just said that he looks like a meerkat, I think. So
I think the problem is if you talk for an hour just about yourself, then you are going to create news lines. And I think it does also show, I mean, I remember coming to conference just after Theresa May had become Prime Minister. I said been elected, but that'd be wrong. and walking around, it felt like things were very tightly controlled. I remember going to a fringe event that Nicky Morgan was at. At the moment, Nicky Morgan was probably Theresa May's biggest critic in the party. And she pointed out that the whips had been sent, people from the whips have been sent to sit in on that fringe in case she said something, which was off off topic, off message, you get the impression there wouldn't be enough members in the whole of CCHQ staff to send someone to every fringe where someone could say something a bit off on this conference. So I think it does show you how things have gone, and probably not in a good way for the Prime Minister.
Yeah, I think we saw a bit of this in the build-up to the conference. You had Sam Gyimah, who's a minister in the government, talking about how a Tory party has lost its way. I think this is one of the challenges for them, which is, you know, you can make that basically they haven't, Number 10 have not got the authority to kind of stop people from kind of thinking out loud in public, which in the early years, as Katie was just saying, the early years of Theresa May's premiership, you know, Nick Timothy and Fiona Hill would not let anyone even, you know, say anything that wasn't entirely on the script that they had written.
Yeah, I remember as a journalist here really struggling with the fringes because they were just so dry that I was wondering where I'd possibly get a story. And now, I mean, we're just talking about the fringes for tonight and there's too many to cover. Again, it shows where we've got to.
Katie and James, thanks very much. Join us again tomorrow as we continue our coverage of Conservative Party Conference.